And welcome to another Friday edition. This is a program where we take a look at people doing something good in our community or people doing something good in their community. And right now we're at the community of Humboldt State University. And we are taking a look at a class that is being made available to high school students. So who do I have on the call right now?
Hi, my name's David Marshall, and I'm a research associate at Humboldt State University. We're putting together a summer program teaching drones.
And you have some students here?
Yes, hi. My name is Felicity Cross. I'm a student in the Environmental Engineering program and also a student in the Geospatial Analysis program. And I'll be helping out.
Yeah, and my name is Zach Erickson. I'm a graduate student at Humboldt State University studying forestry.
And so we're talking about a summer drone program for high school students. So we'll get to that, I imagine. Could you tell us, talk about what you are studying at Humboldt State?
Felicity.
I'll go first.
Okay.
So like I said, I'm in the Environmental Resource Engineering program. I'm a senior, and my focus is in water resources and water resource management. So ideally, I'd like to pursue river restoration and just water resource availability.
Yeah, and so this is Zach. I'm a graduate student at Humboldt State. I actually completed my bachelor's degree in forestry with a focus on soils from Humboldt State. And I graduated in 2018 from that. I just love the area so much. I took the opportunity to come back to graduate school because I wanted to move back up here and be a part of the community. And currently my project is working on developing co-management of forest resources on a Humboldt State University owned property.
So you were away?
Yeah, so upon graduation, I wanted to get some real world experience in forestry. And I took a job down in Mendocino County where I worked in Lake, Sonoma, Mendocino, and Humboldt County, practicing forestry with small landowners, industrial forestry companies, and doing timber harvest, and also forest fire prevention projects where we would manage people's properties to reduce fire risk, and other really interesting and fun small projects as well.
And both of you are anticipating, or you are already use drones in your work.
Felicity.
Not personally yet. So part of our training in order to teach this drone course to the high schoolers this summer is we're also getting our pilot's license. And so we still have to fly over to Reading and take our test. And then once we do that, we can operate the drones and then start incorporating it into our own research.
Okay, well, could you talk more about your drone training then and you're going to be doing in Reading? What's that going to involve?
So it's just the test that will be taking place in Reading. Right now, we've been going through this online course through Drone Pilot School. I believe that's the name of the course. And it's about a 20-hour course that goes through sectional charts, weather mapping, the different rules and regulations in order to fly a drone, and just all the different physical and mental aspects that go along with preparing, initiating, and like going out and using the drone. So we've all completed that course right now. So we're just getting ready to go take the test in Reading. And then once we take that test, they'll send us our license and then we'll be good to roll.
So Reading is like a central location for this licensing?
Yeah, from my understanding, there's only a few testing sites in each kind of region. So they have two airports out in Reading that facilitate these type of tests.
David Marshall.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what it takes to get a drone license. The FAA has designated certain testing centers. If you're 16 years old or older, then you can go get your drone pilot's license. And what that does is it lets you operate drones professionally for yourself or as a small company, or you can work for forestry or engineering companies doing different types of drone work. And we use drones a lot in science too. So there are all kinds of applications for flying drones professionally. And our program should take the high school students through all the information they need to successfully pass the FAA drone pilot test.
Okay, that's really interesting. So you need to be 16 years of age, just like driving a car.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to that. It's interesting, the way that the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, looks at drones, they see them as airplanes. They see them as aircraft, but they're just remotely operated. And your drone pilot's license says on it, remote aircraft license. So that means you can be the pilot, but you're not in the airplane. I'm a pilot, and I have my own airplane that I fly around California in, and that's actually where Zach and Felicity are going to fly with me from Humboldt County over to Redding so that they can take the drone pilot's test some point in the next couple of weeks. But the FAA thinks it's really important that drone operators know a lot about aviation so that when they go fly their drones, they know what other aircraft, manned or unmanned, are doing in that airspace so that there's no conflicts.
So do you have to do a flight plan before you fly your drone?
No, not necessarily, but you have to know where you're flying. So the idea is, if you're going to go fly your drone near a place that might have other airplanes or aircraft, you want to make sure that you don't get in conflict. Some places that you fly, you might have to contact the tower of the airport that you're near. Other places, you're right, there are restrictions, but there's no flight planning that's involved. Now, at the university, you have to submit a flight plan so the university knows how you're going to operate your drone for scientific reasons. And that's mostly so that we make sure that everybody involved has their drone pilot's license, like what Felicity and Zachary are doing, and that they know about where they're flying and what the rules are for the area that they're flying. There's a lot of places in Humboldt County where you don't have to tell anybody, but there are some places that you do, like when you're flying next to the airport in McKinleyville. A lot of science has been done along the beaches there. And if you get too close to the airport, you got to let the airport know what you're up to.
Do cities or towns have restrictions on drones that you have to be aware of?
Well, I don't want to take up all the space of this interview because it really is more interesting to me that we talk about Zachary and Felicity's interaction, but that's a great question. Because the Federal Aviation Administration has taken on the responsibility, all of the laws around how you operate your drone professionally are really laws that come from the federal government. Now, municipalities have said and introduced some restrictions, like at the Marsh in Arcata, there's a couple of signs that say no drone zone. If the community doesn't want drones, they can post signs saying no drones. It's federal law then that it needs to be looked at, and there's a lot of different ways that people are looking at the way the laws are constructed. But for drone operation, it's pretty much federal laws take precedence.
So in the training, did you experience that type of a heads up on what you need to look for?
This is Zach. Yeah, a lot of the training is focused on identifying different airspaces that have different rules, kind of touching on what David was just saying. As far as municipalities concerned, maybe Felicity can touch on this. I'm not sure if we went over that specifically, maybe just because of the variation in location of the students. But I'm sure the answer to a question of whether or not you should or should not contact a city government or a county government, if you think you might need their permission, you should probably contact them and double check.
So you both are going to be using this technology, this aviation technology, in your further work and study?
Felicity.
Ideally, yes. I've been learning about what you can do with drones in the past couple months, and they have a variety of applications. So I would like to try to apply it to river monitoring, like for restoration efforts, and then also tracking the growth of habitat loss or habitat growth. And Zach will be able to touch on this a little bit more, but you can use it to monitor logging operations. So the local logging companies, what kind of processes they're doing, how fast vegetation's growing back, and that sort of stuff.
David Marshall.
Well, I want to ask Felicity a question. You had some really good work, and you had talked about a little bit the removal of a dam and monitoring that. Did you have some ideas about how you could use a drone to do that kind of work?
Yes. So the drones are really good at getting that overall view and the initial conditions before the dam removal. And when that dam is removed, there's a lot of sediment that's been trapped behind that dam. So that's all going to come flowing down the river. And sediment molds how the river works. So it really governs the pathways and the flow rates and the species travel through it. So I'm hoping to be able to use.
Are you talking about a specific dam, Felicity?
The Klamath Dams, of
course.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Sorry. You didn't say that. And I was wondering.
Sorry. That's one of my big interests. Once I graduate, I would like to get on one of the teams that work on the removal and then how monitoring how the river is working and the conditions of the river after it's removed. So you can use the drones to see how the sediment is transforming the riverways and then use it as like a basic guideline for future fish habitat and future flow rates and estimates.
That's cool. An important effort.
David Marshall.
So Zach, because I have some insight, I know that you're interested in the Jacoby Creek watershed. And I was curious if you had thought about how you might use a drone to pursue some of the data gathering that you're interested in that space.
Yeah, forestry in general is benefiting greatly from drone technology. Such things as reforestation, replanting efforts, which may be really important after the large wildfires that we've been having. Instead of sending out a forestry technician, we can instead fly a drone over to snap pictures or take real-time video and be able to count how many seedlings are coming up, what areas do we need to treat? And if it's an industrial setting, how many of these seedlings are surviving? And so you can see how start to ask these questions of the landscape within the forestry lens, which I'm really interested in. What drones provide is this extremely high resolution imagery, because instead of taking images from a satellite all the way up, you know, outside the Earth's atmosphere, you're getting a drone that's hovering 100 feet off the ground. And so you can imagine how finer of an image that can create. And so when you ask questions like what Felicity is looking at with, or thinking of looking at with sediment, you can begin to monitor this really fine scale of what's happening. And within Jacoby Creek, we've actually already had someone fly the property and take some remote sensing imagery that called LIDAR, which is essentially shooting a laser down at the forest. And based on how long that laser takes to return back to the camera, you can start to take a look at the heights of the trees and see where are the trees the tallest. And over time, you can monitor where are trees growing the fastest as you can kind of map this change in height over time. Currently, these are all done on the ground with technicians going out and measuring trees, which is dangerous, expensive, and can be potentially variable in accuracy depending on how well they're doing the measurements. And if we can use these drones, we can start to utilize it as a tool that we can just integrate into forest management.
David Marshall.
Awesome. You know, there's a couple other things that drones do, the whole technology that makes life really easy for scientists, or a lot easier for scientists, is historically what Felicity and Zach have been talking about is using satellite data. Satellites are really, really expensive, and they're way up in the sky, and so the resolution, the sharpness of the images is not that great. But drones can be really close to the ground, and they're a lot less expensive. In times past, we used to fly little airplanes over the trees or over the farmlands or over the grasslands to look down and either count things or take pictures. And those little airplanes, they cost $1,000 an hour to operate, to get a pilot and to get the technician to put the cameras together. But a drone, heck, I can get a graduate student to go out and do it for a lot less than $1,000 an hour. And you can go back more often. And in science, we talk about temporal data, and that's time data. So you can go out every 4 or 5 days and gather the same set of pictures to see what the change is over time. And that gives us a lot more tools to look at the landscape, to look at natural resources questions and wildlife questions or river morphology questions over time to give us a better understanding about what's happening on the ground and how we can make things better.
This is all really interesting stuff, yes. Is there more things that you would like to mention about what you're learning and what you're planning?
This is Zach. I guess one thing that I'd want to add is, and what's great about this program is that, as you can see, there's so many applications of this technology, and it's really at the ground floor. So David piloting this project, no pun intended, is creating this unique opportunity for high school students to kind of enter into this field and not just learn some skills that maybe they can use down the road, but learn a skill set that they could actually go apply for a job or even make an investment and start their own company and start doing these surveys as soon as they have their license. And so there's so many things that can be done that with a little bit of creativity, there's a lot of room for employment and creating working opportunities.
So is this summer drone program for high school students open to all high school students at one location, or is this going to go out to all high schools?
David Marshall.
Well, that's a great question. So what I envisioned was to offer this program to the Native American high school community, what I'm going to call pre-college. If you're 15 years old or older, and you're interested in doing this program, I'd love to have a talk with you in Zoom to tell you a little bit more about it and to talk about what our goals are. And here's the neat thing, and this might catch some of your listeners' attention. We're actually going to pay the high school students $100 a week to participate in this program. We're offering this first opportunity to the Native American community in Humboldt County or in the area. But there are some participants that are coming from out of the area because this is going to be an online-only program this summer. At the end of this month, then we're going to offer the registration to anybody in the community who wants to, any high school student who wants to join us. So for right now, the registration is available, and you can go to hcoe.org/pilot to look at the website and fill out the application form, and then I'll contact you and try to set up a Zoom meeting so that we can talk face-to-face about what the commitment is to get through the training so you can get your drone pilot's license.
That URL again?
hcoe.org/pilot. We also need for you to have a good network connection. So if you happen to live out in Hoopa, I think we have an arrangement so the high school will open one of their rooms and supply with a laptop so you can do the program. The program is going to be from June 21st to July 16th in the afternoons for those 4 weeks. At the beginning of the day, which starts about 1 o'clock, we're going to have a guest speaker that comes from someplace in the aviation community. It could be a bush pilot in Alaska or a United Airlines pilot that flies to Europe. It might be a mechanic that works on small planes or a mechanic that works on big jets. We have a couple of engineers that work on avionics in aviation that are going to visit us and talk about what their job is about. And then we're going to study for the drone pilot's license test. And in the afternoons, we're going to look at what you can actually do scientifically with drone data, like what Felicity and Zach were talking about, a little bit of GIS. So that's the program we're putting together. But we're also going to pay the students to be in the program $100 a week, or $400 for completing the whole program.
Well, you mentioned the GIS. Oh, excuse me.
That's quite all right. You probably have a good question, but I wanted to ask Felicity, did you have anything to add about what you're going to do in the future with drones or anything about the program that I might have overlooked?
Felicity.
I think with that program, I want to apply this into my scientific career in the engineering field, but I think outreaching to Native American people also provides a non-scientific aspect that could be very useful. So my plan is also to try to incorporate the use of drones into cultural activities, and they could be scientific or not. So kind of segueing into the GIS portion, you can use the drone imagery to monitor like fires, so fire devastation, real-time imagery of fire growth. And that becomes very important out in like Hoopa, Wichipec, and Orleans. And you can also use that imagery to kind of place like, hey, where do we need to do a control burn next kind of thing? And then on the opposite side of that, I would like to use the drone imagery to kind of do a cultural outreach thing. So within the national parks, mapping Sumeg Village, creating 3D maps of that so it can be shared as a virtual interface. And then down on the reservation, these kids could become drone pilots, and then they can have a business or a job monitoring the cell towers down there. So for safety reasons, you don't have people climbing up on the towers, and these kids have the opportunity for jobs like that.
Okay, I was going to ask in regards to the GIS, we have GIS technicians in forestry, if they would be involved in this training.
David Marshall.
We would love, are you talking about in Hoopa?
Yes.
We would love to be able to engage any of the natural resources departments in any of the tribes that might hear this interview. We have opportunities to interact with both the high school students that are going to be going for our program and the college students. So if you wanted to contact me, you can get to me through that website, hcoe.org/pilot, and write me an email, and I'll be happy to respond. The other thing we have that might be interesting to somebody that's listening is we have opportunities to be a guest speaker in our program. So if you're in a natural resources department and you're doing something interesting and you're either thinking about how you could use a drone, the students, both Zachary and Felicity, will soon have their drone pilot's license, and I can help them get access to equipment. We can go and maybe gather some data that's interesting to you and use that in our summer program the end of this summer. So there's a lot of opportunities here for people that are working in this area to engage the high school students and the university to try to do projects that are culturally relevant and interesting.
Wow, okay, that's really good. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
Well, I've got nothing to add. I think we've talked a lot. Zach, Felicity, is there anything else that you want to share with the radio audience?
This is Zach. I guess we touched a little bit. Part of the 4-week program is you will be learning some basic GIS skills, and this utilizing this program is it's such a powerful tool to, like Felicity kind of touched on, all the possibilities from forestry to river monitoring and to the more social sciences and cultural monitoring and all these things. And we can take these pictures with the drone, but what we do with the pictures and how we analyze and how we answer the questions we have about these areas is all done through the GIS programs. And in this 4 weeks, students will be able to learn how to answer these questions utilizing software that doing the same thing that we do, Felicity and I do at Humboldt State University. There'll be basic processes, but it's also a very valuable skill to learn.
Felicity.
And I would just like to add to everybody listening, just to encourage your family, if you have teenagers, you know, cousins, sons, daughters, we're open to everyone, to have them sign up. This is a really great opportunity presented to the Native American community, and I'm very happy to be a part of it now. And just reminiscing on like the kind of programs that were offered when I was a kid, this is a huge opportunity to get your foot in the door and just to put on your resume to help you be successful in the future.
Absolutely. Good. Okay. If there's nothing else, we could end this call and you send me the YouTube. Very good. Well, thank you for taking the time. This is really interesting.
It was a great interview. I appreciate your time. So when you get this posted on the web, we could actually direct people to it. If they wanted to learn more, they could listen to Zach and Felicity talk about the program.
Yeah, I can upload it to the web. People can listen to it again.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Well, I really thank you for the opportunity. I hope you have a beautiful balance of the week. And Zach, Felicity, thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Joseph.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for all your work and your sharing of what you'd learned.
Yeah.
Means a lot.